These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelker and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Right back to the phones, as promised, here on Felger and Maz. Tom in Linfield. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, finally you're talking about that 2015 draft, which is a disgrace. But it's a pattern with Sweeney. He traded...
Hey, Tom. Talking to the phone like a pizza, okay?
Yeah, I am. Sorry. He traded Riley Smith, a capable top six guy, for nothing, Jimmy Hayes. He signed Matt Beleski, who's nothing, for $4 million. He traded Zach Ronaldo for a third round pick for Zach Ronaldo. And then he couldn't sign a restricted free agent that year, Jacob Trouba, and then David Bass. We need to start talking about how bad he is.
Okay, we're starting to. I mean, look, last year they were in range for the President's Trophy, for whatever that's worth, which I think it's worth about exactly what my dog craps out of its ass. I don't care about the President, but you got all excited about a good regular season. They had one. So, like, you know, is it the time to do it last year when they're going for the President's Trophy?
No.
But, I mean, David Backus was never worth the money. And I liked the signing, so I was wrong about it. I liked Backus. Thought he'd bring some, what you desperately need, some toughness. But the guy can't move. So he's on your fourth line. So Backus wasn't worth it for even a second. And again, the ones that you mentioned, sure, I don't miss Riley Smith. That's not the issue with the team. Riley Smith's a dime a dozen. So he's made some good moves, too. I'm focusing now on 2015. Because the league, there's talent all across the league right now that came in that first round. That was a talent-rich draft. It's like you could have blindfolded Murray and gave him some edibles and gave him some darts, and he could have thrown him over his back and hit on more players or as many players as the Bruins did. It was hard to miss in that first round.
You're right about all that, except giving Murray the edibles. He's already got
those. More edibles.
I don't mix with those.
If you've got three first-round picks, it's hard to miss all the good players in that round that year. It's hard to miss. And they miss multiple times over and over. That's the one that I'm sorry. Ooh. Cam and Taunton, go.
The most infuriating part about all of it was you got those three picks. One was from L.A. for Lucic. And then this one was from the Flames for Hamilton. And sorry, Murray, Jeremy Gaudreau wasn't part of that trade. The one that you hit on DeBrus was your pick. So you gave away Lucic and Hamilton for nothing. Because those two picks you got in return for Zboril and Zenishin was LA and Calgary. So the one pick you actually did hit on was yours. So the two players you traded, you got nothing for.
So what a great Lucic trade. He made, you want to give Sweeney credit. He traded Lucic for Martin Jones in a first.
And Colin Miller,
thank you.
Great. And Colin Miller.
Great trade.
So they then flipped Jones for another first rounder. They got nothing out of the first rounder that they initially got, and they let Miller go in the expansion draft.
And was the first round they got back from San Jose, did that turn to Trent Frederick?
It might have. I'll double check it.
So I think that was at the end of the first round the next year, because San Jose, of course, goes to the finals. I think I have that right.
No, I think that's right.
Okay.
29th pick overall.
So, but still, flipping Lucic, who was cashed, for a first-round pick, a starting goalie that you then flip for another first, and Colin Miller? That's a great trade. That's a Harry Sinden special. And then you leaked it all away. You leaked all of it away. You got nothing. How do you crush a trade like that, and then 3 years later, have nothing?
Well, I don't know. Did you ever look up Phil Kessel?
Oh, Brendan.
They nailed that trade and then leaked it all away. They've done it more than once.
Brendan and Groton, go.
Just to help you better understand how frustrated I am with why I called tonight is because last night's game, sitting on the couch, when that Florida player went up along the boards and went right by two,
Donato and Krug. Goal,
that's what I said. You know what? I'm calling tomorrow. Last time I called in sports radio, Eddie Edelman was on the radio. So my point is this. I missed the hitting. I don't want anybody to get hurt. But these aren't the Bruins anymore, big bad.
Okay, so there's another Hockey Krishna calling.
So it's not just a Bruins issue, it's a league issue. But on a play like that, is it okay to put a body in front of the guy and stop him?
Go watch it if you haven't seen it. First, Donato, Ole, in his zone. Is it Matheson? And then what Torrey Krug does on his blue line, on that rush is gross.
I mean, how does a defenseman let a guy blow by him like that and not make any contact?
It's gross. It's gross. And Krug was gross all night long. Gross. Ugh. Oh, that's the one that rattles you. That game was so bad last night that I went and looked at the 2015 draft. That's what it led me to do. And when I looked at the 2015 draft, I wanted to barf on my keyboard. I forgot or never paid attention to Thomas Chabot at 16. Yeah, because everyone says, you know, they needed that defenseman, and what do you want him to do? The Hanifin thing blew up at 5. Okay, Provorov at 7 you weren't going to get, and Werenski at 8. There were three known guys, Hanifin, Provorov, and Werenski. They went ahead of you. You weren't going to get them. Okay, fine. So what do you expect him to do? Thomas Chabot was right there at 18. Oh, you had three cracks at him. Look at your NHL point leaders right now, and look at who leads NHL defensemen in scoring. Thomas Chabot. Can I just spend 1 second on Florida? The Florida Panthers, the Florida hockey experience?
Sure.
So I remember yesterday during 10 questions with Bedard, I asked you if there's one NFL team that you'd like to relegate.
Yeah, Tampa.
Okay. And you said the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFL.
Yeah. Although I said you could pretty much take the whole state of Florida.
Okay. In hockey, the Florida Panthers, don't you think it's about time to relegate that team?
Yep.
Did you see that crowd last night?
Yep.
Could you believe that?
Yep.
What are they doing there? Seriously. I mean, what are they doing there? They can't get any you know, do you say Tampa's pathetic? But Tampa's got a little something. It's a team that's had success, certainly, and they will occasionally fill the building. And so, you know, Tampa's a fine hockey market. That Florida market, oh, that crowd is embarrassing. It used to be when they would get the, you know, Bruins or the Canadiens or Detroit or the Rangers or one of those teams, they'd get at least the other fans down there. Now they can't even get that.
It's worthless. I mean, that team should be relegated. Get them the hell out of the league. Nobody goes. So it's embarrassing.
We were talking about the expansion yesterday in Seattle, and I think Seattle's a good spot because I think that's a market that has a chance to care about hockey. And that's what the focus on, as opposed to...
Well, they're a candidate for Quebec City, then, is
exactly,
the team in Florida.
Exactly. You know, they worry about big markets and the footprint, right? They want a footprint, meaning that they're in all regions of the country in the big markets. So that's why they went to Florida and the Sun Belt in the first place. Houston's going to get the next team. Houston. They're horny for Houston. And
no one's going to care there.
No one's going to care. It doesn't matter how big the market is if no one gives a crap. They tried Atlanta twice.
Right.
Giant market. No one cares. No one cares in the city or outside the city, so don't go there no matter how big the market is. So don't go to freaking Houston. And you're done with Atlanta. Go to Quebec City. Go back to Hartford for all I care. Go to places where people will care about the sport. And don't worry about the market size. The market size does not help you. You've got the Devils in the New York metropolitan area, and they've been as successful a team in my lifetime as any, and no one cares. I talked to someone from the NBC network once who said, having New Jersey in the NHL finals, you might as well have Winnipeg. No one cares about the Devils, no matter where you put them. So don't worry about Houston, and don't worry about the Sun Belt, and don't worry about these places. And get them the hell out of Sunrise. That's a disgrace down there.
It's what, an hour from Miami or something?
It's less. It's less. So Miami, it just doesn't fly. And they somewhere someone knew that. Like, it's just too many. It's a Latin culture. Like, it's just not. Hockey has no shot in Miami. Well, it turns out it has no shot in West Lauderdale either. None. Zero. None.
How about Southern Florida?
Well, again, Tampa, I'll give
them. No, but it's North Florida or Central anyway.
It's West, but either way. It ain't happening there. It ain't happening. Those crowds, you can't have, I mean, that's making a mockery of the thing. When you have crowds like that, last night for the Bruins, an original 16 with a ton of Boston people down there, you can't even get them to go. They give away the tickets.
You're playing to seats. Like, it's embarrassing.
Hey, okay. So I just, you know, I heard Jaffe talking about that on Nesson, and I tend to agree with him. Like, they can't figure out the ice. They can't get people in the building for free. They can't have a representative team. They've been drafting high forever. They can't, you know, just... Please, enough. Get rid of that team there. Get rid of that team there. And so here's just one more side, because we spent some time on the Seattle thing yesterday, and you want the Seattle Sockeyes?
Yeah, Sockeyes.
As a team name. I'll just shoehorn this in here.
Told you. Logo should be a salmon with a black eye.
I think it's pretty cool. It's right? But Sockeye, a little hockey analogy, and you even make the black eye in the shape of a puck.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Easy. Like purple and black.
That's an easy one. So I sort of was with you when we went over all those team names, the Totems, the Emeralds, the Rainiers, the Bobcats, whatever, F off. Sockeyes, okay, fine.
Rainiers.
Then I saw the one that they really deserve to be, I saw the uniforms that went with them. ESPN did a uniform contest. So show it up on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast if you could.
Ugh.
The Seattle Pilots. Look at that. Ugh.
Oh, that's hideous.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Oh, I hate them.
Oh, I love them.
That one on the left is a joke. What is that supposed to be? Like an elf?
It's a logo. It's a Mariners logo, but they're Pilots, so I don't quite get it. But don't ask me. But you know what that is? You don't know what that is, do you?
Seattle Pilots?
The one on the far right, you're not going to get the reference. It looks like Judge Dredd's uniform.
You're not going to get the reference. Who's Judge Dredd?
It's Judge Dredd.
I don't care about that. Who's that?
Character. These are terrible.
They're gorgeous. Oh my God, they're gorgeous.
I'm with Murray. I saw them and I said, is he going to rip on these or is he going to?
Oh my God. Tweet them out. They're beautiful.
I think they're gorgeous.
They're beautiful.
I think they suck.
Could you have more stripes?
You don't even get the historical reference.
I don't care about the history of what's going on in Seattle.
You all can F off. You know who the Milwaukee Brewers are and where they came from?
Yeah, Seattle Pilots baseball team.
Those were the Seattle Pilot uniforms in 1969, the baseball team.
Great. If I were alive then, they would suck then, too.
No, they were beautiful.
I think they suck.
Gorgeous.
That one on the left, that thing with the white, with the Mariner wheel, with what looks like ears. I think those are ears. They're supposed to be wings.
Okay,
they look like elf ears.
The one on the left?
What they look like.
Just looking at the ones on my left, I have movement. Like, I think I need a moment alone. I got to leave the studio and have a moment alone. They're so freaking beautiful.
I think they're embarrassing.
And they're the blue Seattle away? Oh, my God. That's the best uniform in hockey right out of the chute.
Oh, God. What is wrong with you?
Gorgeous. Those are the ones. Seattle Pilots with those uniforms. Look at those.
Please. Embarrassing.
Terrible.
Okay. Those are bad unis.
Best uniforms I've ever seen. Just about.
I'm telling you, don't reinvent the wheel. Sock eyes.
I like the
salmon with a black eye and a hockey stick.
That's sort of reinventing the wheel. Let's name a team after a salmon. That's a little bit reinventing the wheel. This is old school.
A fish. As opposed to what? Name them after a duck?
Okay. So those are our hockey thoughts. We'll take your calls on this all day long because the 2015 is worth an all-day evisceration. It is. But we want to mix in some baseball stuff coming up next right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
It was Houston Astros all-star Alex Bregman simply being Alex Bregman, showing off his swag. His Instagram post was the biggest topic of conversation Monday before Game 3 of the American League Championship Series.
A strikeout for Eovaldi as Bregman is now 0-for-4. Second time they've struck him out tonight. Dropped down a little through the riser at 102. Four-seamer by Bregman.
Well, here is Nathan Eovaldi after a scoreless 11 put up by Heath Hembree. 3-2. Struck him out. 101. Here's a 2-2. Got him on the inside corner. 0-2. Struck him out. Eovaldi gets through another scoreless inning.
You know what Nate did tonight? That was amazing. That was amazing. We kept talking to him. He's like, oh, I'm good.
I felt pretty privileged to be able to watch what Nathan Eovaldi just did. That was, he threw out of the bullpen 2 days in a row and then came out there and threw 100 pitches tonight and held them to that fountain right there. That was the most incredible pitching performance I've ever seen. And after the game was over, I started crying because that was, I mean, he's grunting every pitch. He literally gave everything he had on every single pitch, and it was special. It was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, that's the epitome of reaching down deep, and I'm really proud of him.
Nathan Eovaldi, the playoff heroes for the Red Sox. That was the Rick Porcello talking about his World Series performance in that extra inning game. So he's a free agent, and Maz, what's the latest? What's the latest in terms of the actual his status on the free agent market, and then what's the latest in terms of how you feel about whether the Sox should sign him or not?
Well, based on the news that was coming out yesterday after Patrick Corbin signed with the Nationals, and that was 5 years, and I don't even remember the number, $120 million or something like that for Patrick Corbin, 6 years, and $140 is what the number was, but whatever. He ended up in Washington, and one of the stories that came out last night was that the Yankees wanted Corbin, they weren't willing to go to 6 years, and Nathan Eovaldi is among the plan Bs for the Yankees. And this apparently sends some Red Sox fans in a tizzy because, oh my God, what if the Yankees get Eovaldi? And my answer to that would be, so what? So if the Yankees want to get stupid and give Nathan Eovaldi some type of ridiculous contract, so what?
What's a ridiculous contract?
Let them. And I saw that in a story I was reading today that according to MLB trade rumors, they predict that Eovaldi's going to end up with 4 years and $60 million, which is $15 million per. Okay, 4 years and $60 million. If that's the price, thanks, but no thanks.
You're not
see
going
you later.
Not even to 15 with
nope,
him?
I'm not. I'll tell you what, I gave this a lot of thought in the last, I don't know, 24 hours.
So I was going to say, this feels like a developing opinion.
I want Eovaldi. I like Eovaldi. I think he'd be a good guy in their staff. 4 years and $60 million for a guy who's once made 30 starts, pitched 200 innings, call it once at 199 and two-thirds, has a history of arm injury, and is projected by Baseball Reference, not that that's the Bible, but nonetheless, to go 7-7 with a 4.1 ERA, 4 years and $60 million, thanks but no thanks. So I'll tell you what with Eovaldi. He's getting overrated. This is getting stupid. This guy was making $2 million bucks, and he was a nobody when they acquired him. He had a nice regular season, and then he was off the charts good in October, which is great. We're all happy about that. I'm happy about that. He amazed me with what he did in October. He's not Curt Schilling. And there aren't a lot of guys out there that can throw hard and throw it in the strike zone, and he can. So maybe that makes him a closer or whatever. Fine. I don't know. I want to see his ability to do it. But if they make him a closer, can he make 60 appearances a year? I don't know. Never seen him do it before.
So again, to play devil's advocate a little bit, aren't you projecting with him?
Sure.
Meaning, like, you're not paying him on past performance other than, you know, the couple months at the end of last year. You're paying him for, what's his age?
28, going on 29.
So a guy who is, and some people think once you've had the Tommy John, you're stronger.
Uh-huh.
He's had two?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, maybe that means he's double. I mean, I don't know. But you're paying him for what he's going to do, not what he just did.
Yeah. No, I get that part of it. And again, so what about a guy who gets hurt all the time? Do you factor that in? Like,
yes.
All I'm saying is this. No matter who the player, and I like Eovaldi too, but no matter who he is, at some point it gets stupid. It just gets stupid.
And you think 15 a year is stupid?
For 4 years? Yes. For this guy? Yes. He shouldn't get 4 years. So if I'm the Red Sox, here's what I do. 3 years and 40, we will give you a vesting option for a fourth year if that works. Okay? If you stay healthy and you can make a minimum number of appearances or be on the active roster for a set amount of days during the course of the year, then you'll get your fourth year. No problem. Otherwise, thanks but no thanks. It is getting stupid with Eovaldi. Somehow overnight, and now that I'm emotionally removed from October because we all were caught up in it at the time, he was so damn gritty in October, it was hard not to like the guy. Any guy who throws 102 and has a history of breaking down, I'm sorry, is not a good long-term investment. He's not. Now, he might pitch well over that period of time. But what I would say to the Red Sox is, you know what? Go out on the market and go find yourself the next guy who's going to be Nathan Eovaldi. Just like I told you to do the same thing with Steve Pierce. And Steve Pierce, to me now, I wanted Eovaldi more than Pierce, and I'm willing to give Eovaldi more. Because, again, he's a guy who throws hard and throws strikes, and that's rare. So I will take my chances on that. Pierce, at least they gave him only 1 year. If Pierce blows up on him, he blows up on him. It's 1 year. Eovaldi, he's sub 500, an ERA over 4. I admire what he did in October, too, and I hope it can happen going forward. But it's reached a point where this is really now getting stupid. Like, all of a sudden, you have to have Nathan Eovaldi? Now, Houston's in on him. The Yankees are in on him. So those are the three best teams in the American League last year if you had the Red Sox in. That's all well and good. But is Nathan Eovaldi the piece that's going to tip the scale? I don't think he is. I think he's a piece that helps.
couldn't you make the case he kind of tipped the scales last year?
In the regular season?
No, postseason. He was a difference maker in the postseason, don't you think?
Yes. Can you assure me he's going to get there?
Well, I can't assure any pitcher's going to get there.
Fair.
I mean, that's just, I mean, all these guys are one pitch away from blowing their elbow out.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's blown it out and had it repaired twice, I don't know. I ask someone in the medical profession, does that make him less likely? Is he even a better bet that he's going through that? Some people think so.
Yeah, I just think at some point you got to draw. So if the number goes to 5 and 75, you doing that?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure I'd do 4 at 60. I'm just telling, again, playing devil's advocate.
No, and I understand that. I'm just saying that at some point to me, you have to draw a line somewhere. And 4 and 60 is too much for that guy. It's too much. I like him too, but he's not a $15 million a year pitcher.
Alan in Florida, what do you think?
Well, I think this Maz is, off the wall again. First of all, the Yankees already got Paxton. Would you call him a number one, Maz?
No, I wouldn't.
No, what would you call him, a 3, 4, 5?
Alan, what's your point,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, what is your point?
My point is that he is very close to a number one, if not a number one. And I don't want the Yankees to get Evaldi. And do you have stock on the Red Sox, man? I don't give a goddamn what they pay. Who I care? Who the hell is not my money?
Alan, I don't care.
Enough.
I don't care either. But if you're going to have an honest discussion about it, you have to put a value on the player.
Okay, well, you know what? Take what Machado is going to sign for and what Harper's going to sign for. Do you know in 4 years that $35 million they're going to get this year, it'll be $50 million. Who cares?
That's I don't care about that. I am telling you what the player is worth on the open market right now. I don't think Evaldi's worth 4 and 60.
So, Alan,
he might not be, but I don't care. I want him.
Okay.
I want him because of what he did.
And you're overrating the player.
Well, that's fine, Alan. If the Red Sox pass on him, I want you to call up the next day and criticize him, all right?
I absolutely, let me just say one other quick thing before I go. You're talking about attendance. March 5th, the only appearance the Red Sox make in South Florida, you got four teams here. You got the popular Cardinals, the horrible Marlins. You got Houston and Washington. A lot of those four teams, one game is sold out March 5th. Red Sox are playing Washington. Only game sold out of four teams here. So, you know, don't underestimate their popularity. You don't know more.
Oh, with you old farts down in Florida, Alan, they're great. They're huge.
Listen, you come down here. I see you walking. Don't worry. I know where you are.
Okay, baby. Walking. Put down your walker and we'll go.
I don't bother you, but I mean, are you an old fart?
Yeah, I'm getting old there, Alan. I'm getting up there.
Right, I don't know if you go there and you'll see more young kids with Red Sox hats. You're so wrong.
Yeah, the grandkids. You guys take your grandkids. I love Alan. I mean it. They're just a little old down there.
No, I like Alan too, but he's overrating Evaldi. I like the player too. I do. I like him. But at some point, it's like, okay, already. It's Nathan Evaldi we're talking about. And I don't know. Again, maybe it's just that I've emotionally divested myself from it. I started to actually look at his resume. And I went, why are we losing our minds over this guy? He had a nice October. Great October. Does that mean he's going to be able to do it again? Or is he just going to be some flash in the pan that had one great October? 3 years, $40 million. Here it is. We'll give you a vesting option if you want it. If the Yankees want to give you 4 and 60, thanks. See you later.
And don't you feel like the Red Sox have done that?
I mean, they've drawn a line somewhere.
It feels that way. Just based on the Dombrowski quote I read yesterday, where he said, we've talked, we'd really like to have him back, but he's got a lot of suitors and he's going to have a lot of choices. And just the tonality said, we have our offer on the table and now it's up to him. And, you know, that is what it is. It's not like at all costs.
No, I think, to me, he's the kind of guy you got to set a limit on. Because otherwise, it ends up being stupid. He's a journeyman right-hander who throws hard. That's great. And he had a fabulous October. So what are you going to do now? Give him 6 years and 120? I mean, what are we getting, stupid?
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rick Right back to your phones, mixing in this Evaldi topic with our Bruins start. Frank the Tank on the P's. Go ahead, Frank.
All right. I want to talk about this draft thing that you're talking about, Mike, and if you can let me talk about the Rask thing with Jimmy Howard.
We got a minute.
Tonight. Okay. So the draft thing here, okay, it's no coincidence to me that over the past 40-some years, the only GMs who have seemed to continuously put their head up their own rectums are the guys who had something literally directly with the team. The only guy in the past 40 years to have won the Stanley Cup who wasn't any Einstein in the draft, but at least he can say he won the Stanley Cup, had literally nothing to do with the Bruins organization ever. I hated it when Sweeney was picked as the GM. I wanted an outsider, and they didn't do it. So now they're paying for it in a certain way. We don't know yet what everything's going to be, but I wish they would have gone outside of the organization. And as far as the Rask thing with Jimmy Howard the other night, you had asked me on Friday night if I watch the league anymore.
Yeah.
It's that crap, Mike, why I don't watch the league anymore. They don't like the staged fighting thing, which had its purpose in the league. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, but that wasn't staged. Like, that was a 5-on-5 square off. That's where they should go. That wasn't really staged. That was kind of organic.
No, exactly. But they always complained about the staged fight, the staged fighting, yeah. Staged fighting. That had its place, too. Now that something happens organic like that, which probably Rask would have gotten his ass kicked, but so what? I still would have wanted to see it happen.
Okay, me too, Frank. Thanks for the call. Let him go. The goalies want to go. Let him go.
Baldy was horrible.
Isaac!
Hi.
Hi, hold on. Isaac's in Northampton. He's up next with Felger and Maz. Now you go, Isaac.
Hey, I'm going to say that I completely agree with Maz. We're not trying to make another David Price-type mistake with Evaldi. I mean, the guy was horrible after his first two starts in Boston, and then he was good in the playoffs. I'm not going to deny that. But, like, do we really want to give him this much money for 4 years?
So, he still projects well. I like the way he projects.
Me too.
He's not a kid. He's a known quantity. He has injury history, but you sort of know what it is. It's not like I don't know why the fact that he's had the Tommy John makes me feel better. He's the ideal for the modern game. A strikeout pitcher with velocity who can start, relieve. You can see him as a closer. You can see him as that weapon, middle inning weapon. You can see him as a starter.
Sure.
He gets strikeouts. I said that. It's like and he's got makeup. He checks all those boxes, Tony.
Yeah, I told you. I want the player. I just, to me, there's a point that there's a line you have to draw somewhere. Like, you don't just say, I want the player, pay whatever it takes to keep him. Like, if you can do that, then I want everybody. Like, so at some point, you got to sort of put a value on the player and say, at what point does it exceed what he is or what he could be? And 3 years, $40 million for a guy who made $2 million last year and said two Tommy Johns? That's a pretty good deal. Like, if someone else is going to go 4 years and 60, see you later. Bye-bye.
Tommy and Milton, what do you got for us on the Bees?
Hey, Mike, just give me a couple extra seconds here. Mike, Don Sweeney, to me, is one of the worst general managers I've ever seen in the Bruins organization. Having said that, what's Cam Neely doing about it? He's up there in the office, with his fingers up his nose and just sitting there watching. He's fucking
well,
doing
so,
nothing.
Tommy, what's he supposed to do? I mean, would you fire Don?
I'm sorry, Mike, is he Don Sweeney's boss?
Yeah, but would you fire Don Sweeney right now?
Yes, I would.
All right, see, I mean, I just think that's a little early. Sweeney,
it is early.
It's his fourth full year. And help me with the exact timing. I can't remember if it's his third or fourth.
Well, 2015, was that his first draft?
I mean, it was definitely his draft. So we're going, this is three-plus years. This is his fourth year. And, again, they had a really good year last year, regular season. And I think that the system and the program showed progress last year. It did. I didn't think it did. It showed progress. A lot of you overrated it, but still, the arrow was pointed in the right direction. He made enough good picks, or, you know, you had McAvoy there in DeBrusque, and the team, you know, placed really well in the regular season, so arrow's pointing in the right direction. You're not firing him last year. That's dumb. And so now what, you're 2 months into this one, you're going to fire him? That's ridiculous. What's Cam supposed to do? Fire him after two bad months? I'm not saying that. It's not the point that you fire him. I'm getting a little scared, though. I mean, a little scared when I look at that 15 draft and the amount of players that have hit in the league, and you didn't come, you came away with one of them. You got three picks right in the middle of that round, and you're dying for help right now, and you could have had it if you just made the right picks in that draft, and they didn't.
As good as Sweeney's season was last year, this year's been just as bad. It's been just as bad. I'm not saying he should be fired either. I'm just telling you that if these guys can't play, they've got a problem. So I'm not firing him. That wasn't my point. This guy's whole operation was built on developing these young guys, drafting and developing young guys, which is good. I think that that's the right philosophy. I'm not questioning the philosophy, but you better hit on the picks.
I mean, just so that what today is, the whole build is, as Maz said, centered around drafting and developing and these young guys coming up through. How do you feel about that today? That's all. That's a discussion. How do you feel about it today? We're not firing the guy. I'm not telling you the season's over. I'm telling you, how does it feel today? Look at what these young guys have done this year. And you tell me. Give me an honest answer how you feel about it. We continue with your thoughts. Long commercial-free segment is next. I do want to hit on one of the baseball thing Maz pointed out. The league, it feels like, and we've talked about all these things, pace of play, pitch clocks, eliminating the shift of all these things, apparently, reportedly, the one that has the most likely chance of succeeding and being passed this year is eliminating the shifts. No more shifts or some illegal defense kind of rules in baseball. Look like it's close to a reality, according to Jason Stark. Let's get to that story again with all your other calls right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Those changes, some of them at least, slightly different motivations. Shifts, for example, I think we went from like 3,000 to 30,000 shifts in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And those shifts alter the game. They change the game because certain types of hitters have less options as to where they can get on base. It encourages two trends that I don't think are positive for the game: more strikeouts and more home runs, because you got nowhere to hit a single, you got no choice but to try to hit it out.
Commissioner Rob Manfred on the shift. He doesn't like the shift. He's trying to eliminate the shift. And unlike the pitch clock, which he continues to talk a big game about but not do, he actually might get the shift implemented, according to Jason Stark of The Athletic. And the only reason Manfred's going to get it is because the players want it too, apparently. The players don't like the shifts any more than we do. And the players, because it takes away hits.
Yep.
Takes away hits. And maybe the pitchers like them, but they're outnumbered, so F them. And for the hitters, it takes away hits and drops average points. So the players might actually agree to it. And according to Jason Stark, you have a good chance of having something akin to an illegal defense in baseball. Basically, what he says is, what's most likely is a rule that simply reinforces one basic principle. Each team must have two infielders on the left side of second base and two on the right.
Yep.
And that's it.
And if I were, if I'm MLB, I even go further. And when I say that, I mean, you know, you got to limit how far off the dirt a guy can play if he goes onto the grass. If a guy wants to go onto the grass into the outfield and you say a step, step and a half, whatever, fine. Okay. If he's going to go 10 feet back there, no good. Nope. You got to stay on the dirt, pal. That's the way it goes. And I used to be, I was okay with shifts in the past. What's happening now has gotten absolutely stupid.
So Jason Stark gives you some numbers quickly. There were 8,000 more shifts on balls in play in 2018 than 17.
Just in 1 year.
From 2017 to 2018, 8,000 more shifts. So as silly as it has been the last several years, last year and recently, it's gotten positively stupid as baseball reaches for max optimization. And the nerds have completely taken over. If you're going to shift an extra infielder for a left-handed hitter, well, why not move this guy on two strikes and that guy on one strike? Because on two strikes, he's more likely to go up the middle than to actually pull the ball. So we're going to put our best defensive player on two strikes at second base, and we're going to put our third best defensive player. So now these teams shift pitch to pitch. And so 8,000 more this year than last year, which is a preposterous number. There were 28,000 more shifts this year than just 5 years ago.
Correct. And that's basically what Manfred said in that cut.
28, right, as he just said. Stark says there were fewer ground ball hits in 2018 than there have been in any season in baseball this millennium, since 1998, and over 1,200 fewer singles. Ground ball hits, 1,200 ground ball hits than we saw as recently as 2015, 1,200 fewer ground ball hits in just 3 years.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, look, it's ridiculous. Again, you have 30,000 shifts a year over that. I mean, now, that interview we did with Manfred, I think, was 2 years ago. So that should give you some ideas to how the hell it goes. And one of the numbers that I saw in this thing, just to give you an idea, if they were to adopt the change that Stark is talking about, which is you got to keep two guys on each side of second base. And that still allows, by the way, for a guy against a lefty
to stand on second.
Pretty much, right, to go right up to second base. Okay, so they call that a partial shift. Even if they went to the rule Stark is talking about, the batting average would jump from 224 to 280. 224 to 280. It doesn't sound like much.
The batting average on what?
On balls hit to that side.
Got it.
Okay, the balls hit into the shift.
That's huge.
It's enormous.
Of course it is.
It's enormous. It's absolutely gigantic. And I'm one person who thinks that the ripple effect could be big.
So this is why I want the illegal shifts or the illegal defense, is because I think it leads directly to the pace of play and the whole direction of the game. Why now is everyone concerned about the three true outcomes, which is walk, strikeout, home run, right? Because you can quantify it, and so the nerds can fully take over and analyze the three true outcomes. But basically, what's happened now, because you're shifting against right-handed hitters and left-handed hitters, no one will go the other way. The shifting has gotten goofy for the last couple of years, and no one goes the other way. The solution, baseball has decided, is to hit over it.
Correct. Hit over the shift.
So you hit over the shift, not the other way, which leads to launch angle. The counter to launch angle on the mound is velocity. And to get max velocity, you hold the pitch. You hold the ball for an extra second. Any second you hold the ball allows your arm to throw it harder the next pitch, which is why a lot of these power pitchers stand there and just wait for their arm to regenerate. And so the longer they take, the harder the next ball is. They've done the work on this. So this is what it is. So now because you have these shifts, everyone's trying to hit home runs, launch angle, over the shift, and the pitchers are countering by just throwing hard and up and waiting that extra second to throw a little bit harder. And so it's all part of one big piece, this direction of the game.
I mean, that's what I think. And again, I don't know, the change probably won't come right away. And when I say that, I mean, they'll put the rule in place, but you probably won't see a dramatic change right out of the gate. But then over time, when they start analyzing the data and analyzing the numbers in 2 or 3 years, all of a sudden you'll have offensive players and hitters saying, you know what? It might be more beneficial to hit the ball on the ground now, because our chances of a hit to the right side are actually increased by 5.5%.
There was one quote in Jason Stark's story that drove me nuts. So this is a Braves hitting coach, Kevin Seitzer. Used to play, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Seitzer, who... Well, he's against the shift, so here's what he says. Why would they want to change the rules that have been in place for a long time to tell people where to stand? I don't understand why we need to change the rules just because the hitters won't make an adjustment. It's the first part of it that bothers me. Why would we want to change rules that have been in place for a long time? Well, there's baseball's problem, isn't it? Just because that's the way it's always been?
Right, because people are now exploiting the rules. We know more. That's why.
Kevin, your sport's dying, and the games are getting less interesting, and you've got a problem. So why would you change rules that have been in place for a long time? Because rules change as the sport changes and as we evolve. Sports change. All sports have changed. All of them. Everyone. Why are you above it? I mean, this is why when I say, I keep saying, in baseball should have an illegal defense. Some of the baseball people go, why? Other sports have illegal defenses. It's very common. Illegal defense.
Totally. I mean, look, to me, it used to be that with certain players, baseball, you know, hitting coaches and managers would encourage guys to hit the ball on the ground. Use your legs. Your chances are better. They don't do that anymore. Nobody does that anymore.
This is why the game takes so long. Everyone's going for a home run, so the counts go deeper. The pitchers hold the ball longer. And you have fewer action plays. It's either walk, strikeout, or home run. That's what some of these playoff series, and it's the worst in the playoffs.
I think this one's going to happen. That's all. It feels to me, Manfred's big on this. And this is one that I think he might be able to get through. I think you're going to see this, and it wouldn't surprise me if you see a 30-second pitch clock.
Okay, so you're all up on the board on our Bruins stuff and this baseball stuff. Well, you can stay there, and we'll get to you. We have Paul Prill coming up next, though. So we're going to introduce a bunch of football stuff. Paulie's a big baseball guy. Again, left-handed junk ball thrower from Boston University.
Emphasis on junk.
So Paul can certainly talk baseball, and he can read, so he knows how badly the Bruins appear to have botched the 2015 draft. So we can keep those topics on the board if you want. We've been running out of characters here to sing. We have been running out of characters to sing here, Sunshine Day, Murray. Do we have anything? Because don't feel like you need to do it. You know, don't feel like you're a paid circus clown. You're like, you have to dance for us.
No, I know I got to dance for the people, Mike. Let's not dance around
it. What are you doing?
Well, we had so much fun hearing from a member of the Illuminati and straight-up creep Jim Gray yesterday. I thought I'd welcome in Paul Perillo with a rendition of Sunshine Day by Jim Gray.
Perfect.
It's been about a year or so.
Yeah, it's a wheelhouse one. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, Jim Gray on Sunshine Day, right after Murray's 90-second update without commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.